Techonomics on KGO 810. Today on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton cooks up some tech talk with celebrity chef Ryan Scott. Then veteran Silicon Valley reporter Scott McGrew drops in for a bit of prairie dogging on the most recent trends in the valley. And then Techonomics unpacks the past week's Federal Reserve meeting with a wealth planner and economist. And finally, host Jason Middleton celebrates 325 African Americans finding tech jobs all in one day. That chat is with the CEO of the Bay Area Economic Council. It's all coming up next on Techonomics on KGO 810.
Welcome to this week's edition of Techonomics. I'm your host and fanboy, Jason Middleton. We're going to start this week with celebrity chef, entrepreneur, restaurateur, and man about town, Ryan Scott. Earlier this week, we got Ryan in the studio and picked his brain over what exactly technology is doing in our kitchens, both commercially and residentially. We also got in the weeds on food delivery services and how much those services can boost a restaurant's bottom line. Here we go. Give me your name and title so I can get a level.
My name is Ryan Scott. I think I work here.
Yeah. When's your show? Saturdays?
Saturdays from 5 to 7.
All right, cool. Hot kitchen tech. Let's talk about technology diving into our homes, maybe even to the restaurant scene. I know you own a few.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, let's talk about homes first. You're looking at, you know, technology is going to be a very small percentage of the people that want to take the leap into, I'm sure we'll get into it soon. It's like sous vide. We're going to, or get into the fact that a refrigerator can talk back to you. You can write notes on the outside of it. I mean, when it really comes down to food, it's already complicated for people to execute a meal, Jason, when it really, at the end of the day. So I don't see the technology side of the advancement when it comes to equipment. You know, I have a line that I work with called Blue Star. And, you know, it's me, Michael Simon, Bobby Flay, and some other people that we work with it. And it truly just comes down to traditional cooking. It's the gas. It's looking for features that can help you execute great meals. It's convection. It's a light. And there's all these things that you see, like, for instance, the robotic side of some of the McDonald's, where you go to the McDonald's down here in the financial district, and they're kiosk driven.
Yeah.
So we eliminated the $14, $15 an hour person that stands behind the counter, and now it's all robotic. And that's when you get into the true specifics of food, and you're eliminating what people can manipulate at the end of the day. So I would say technology when it comes to kitchens, and especially home kitchens, I don't see it ever advancing. I see it being in that Betty Crocker, very kind of old mother's, style. But, you know, we are advancing when it comes to style. We're advancing the fact that refrigerators are running off of two generators instead of one for the freezer and one for the refrigerator. My new fridge in my house is 8 feet tall, Jason. Why the hell do I need an 8 foot tall kitchen fridge? Because I endorse it.
Right. Well, you get to drive it then.
I do get to drive that car. And you know, I see us staying with the old school traditions of either electric induction. Induction is a great technology of cooking, you know, because it's magnetic cooking, but it's a certain pan that goes with it. But you can get super high heat. And the people that have very small apartments like San Francisco, you can get around it and have something that you can sear with. And, you know, it's really cool. It's not that old one that we used to get at Walgreens, the electric coil.
Yes,
you know?
Right.
Right. So I see advancements that way. But, you know, as far as internally at the house, we're going to see those one percenters buying the fridge that talks back to them or shops for them. And I just don't see it sticking.
Okay. I remember 10 years ago, I think it was, I saw a television in a refrigerator, and it just seems like we're just putting a different lipstick on refrigerators with this new tech, except for maybe the Internet of Things. Maybe if that ever takes off, we'll see an advancement. But right now, Internet of Things is stuck in neutral.
Right, right. I see that. But we have iPads. We have iPhones. You know, why put a TV in a fridge when I put one on the wall in the dining room? You know, it's like, you know, there's ways around it. I mean, people are going to want it. There's always the one percenters, but we'll see.
Okay. Well, you mentioned your 8 foot refrigerator that I'm now jealous of.
Come to the house, I'll cook for you.
But we also talked about the space of apartments in San Francisco. So if you don't have space for all those cool gadgets, you can just have it delivered to your door.
Yeah. Yeah. What an amazing. I'll tell you what, I moved to the Sunset 5 years ago. And I remember the first thing I told my wife, my girlfriend at the time, because we were dating, I was like, damn. The food out here is horrible.
Uh-huh.
You know, there was outside lands. And then if you like Korean, Thai, and Japanese, and Chinese, it was great. But, you know, I was Americana mama, man. I came from the marina. I mean, I wanted a yellow submarine sandwich. And to have the advancements of having everything to the door today is a plus. I think businesses on the back end that we're losing are now gaining on deliveries. Mm. I mean, if you look at one of my restaurants, Mark and Arai, I pick up 6 days more a month in gross sales based off of Caviar, DoorDash, Postmates. I picked up 6 days.
Wow.
Just from sales. Then, on the other end, like you're talking Blue Apron, right?
Right, yes.
Blue Apron's an interesting model because, you know, people, the more money they make or the less money they make, they always want a hobby, they want to grow, they want to learn. Here's the thing about food. This is something you can't get away from.
Right.
This is that art that, it's an art or not, it's a necessity.
Yeah.
And so, let's say 50% of the people out there want to learn more and actually make a meal, but don't know how to order, don't know how to go to the store. Places like Blue Apron are actually doing it and a recipe. And so, I hate to say the word dummied down, so broken down for everybody.
Right, yes.
That it's easy.
Well, everything's in the box.
It is in the box, and it's super smart, you know. I can do cooking classes all day long to tell you the way you shop, but the fact that these guys, Blue Apron, are actually giving you seasonal ingredients, giving you ingredients that you don't have to go to the store and daunting waiting in the line at Safeway in the marina and then get in your car, it's at your door. And
right.
It's broken down. It's, you know what? It's better for me because that encourages people to watch shows more.
Right.
It gets people interested in kohlrabi, gets interested in raspberries and blackberries and blueberries.
Okay.
You know?
Now, how do they procure that stuff? I mean, how do you get your stuff into that box?
Me personally or the chefs themselves?
The chefs. Do they pitch you? Do they come to you? Yeah.
I've been pitched 3 times and it just comes down to me with time. First of all, it's great for internal marketing for you and your business. At the same time, it gets your dishes out there. If you're a smart marketer and you have a great PR company, they're going to tie the dish that they send to you at your house also that you can get at your restaurant. So if they know they don't make it well, they can turn around and get it at a place. Or they have that mindset that, oh, it's supposed to taste like this.
Yeah, right.
And then when they go home and they don't hit it, maybe they order again and try again and try again. It's that trigger method. You know, I think it's super smart.
First one's free.
Yes. Everything's free the first time.
I trust a procurement with like a Blue Apron or a Caviar a lot more than I would with something else that our producer wanted us to talk about, which are cupcake ATMs.
Ugh.
I don't know if I can trust, like, I don't know what's in that cupcake.
Right.
You know, I mean, if I make it at home and I open my Blue Apron box, for lack of a better, and then I make it, you know, I'm a decent cook, but I'm not a chef.
I can't wait for Jason's ad, Blue Apron by Jason Middleton. Yeah.
I know. I'm looking for a sponsorship.
You might as well get one after we said it 4 times, Blue Apron. I'll tag team with you on it, Jay.
All right, cool. Yeah, just hand that pitch off to
me. You can have it. Yeah, the cupcake vending machines. I remember when, what is it, Sprinkles Cupcakes out of Los Angeles?
Yes.
I remember that she was the craze. I remember saying, wow, cupcakes will not stick around. Well, look at Kara, my very dear friend Kara's Cupcakes. Mm-hmm. We're talking 10 outlets. She's doing many, many millions of dollars a year in sales, and kudos to her. Here's the thing. You know, people make really good things, and you make it really tight and make one good thing really well.
Right.
You're going to do really well, and that's what Kara's done really well. And same thing with Sprinkles. I don't understand the kiosk of the cupcake in the machines. To me, the delicacy of what a cupcake is, but it's a smart vendor. It's an outlet that you're not paying the overhead. You're not paying the labor. It's mass produced out of a commissary, and then you can have it somewhere where you know that there's a 85 stories in front of you and you can sell 10% a day.
Right.
It's better than having it sit on the shelves at your stores that aren't selling.
My 7-year-old daughter is addicted to Cupcake Wars.
Yeah, it's a fun show.
Yeah, I just have to mention that because I just come in and I'm expecting something else on the big screen, and instead I see Cupcake Wars, and she's really into it.
You know, I've hosted those shows. I did a Clash of the Grandmas on the Food Network last year. It's the same studio that we all shoot all that show in, and all they do, watch it next time. I'm going to throw the Food Network under the bus.
Right.
But watch how it's the same room, but they just paint it based off of who the cast of characters are. So watch that next time. When it's kids, it's more lollipops and crap on the wall. And then grandma's, I had the polka dot aprons, but it's the same studio in Universal City in Los Angeles that we all shoot at. And I hosted it. It's great. It's a 7-camera production. It's about 55, 60 people. It's no joke. Great food team over there. It's a great opportunity to work with. I'll tell you what.
My last question is this. Is sous vide still hot?
I don't know. Again, we go back to the 1%ers. I mean, sous vide for a restaurant. Look, I always say, and you know, I have a new restaurant opening in November in the Castro called Fintown. You know, when I've been testing chefs out, I'm like, look, I'm non-molecular gastronomy. I'm non-sous vide. And then I go to Boletta, my good friend Ryan's restaurant that just opened the night, and he was sous vide in all his ribeyes. Consistency-wise, yes. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, you know, in this economy, are you going to drop a couple grand on something that you might as well just, you know, attach to a bathtub?
Right.
You know, it's fun. If you're a true, true foodie, knock yourself out. The only way I would ever use it is if I get a party for 1,000 people and the bride wants chicken breasts for everybody instead of me grilling, it's sous vide.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, internal temperature is held. It's a great, great method of holding that temp, like a medium rare and a medium forever and a day, you know, especially with minimum wage going up and having a cook that will mess up a ribeye when you know you can drop it in a bag. it's pretty interesting seeing it more of a home use. I don't see it ever picking up enough to where it's even maybe a 1% of the market.
All right. Well, celebrity chef Ryan Scott, thank you so much.
Blue Apron.
I'm going to get that.
Blue
I'm
going to
get that endorsement.
I'm going to hashtag Jay on this. Blue Apron everything from now on.
Come on back sometime.
I love it. Thanks, buddy.
That was celebrity chef Ryan Scott. His radio show airs on KGO on Saturday evenings. You can often catch him on Good Morning America or the Food Network as well. I'm Jason Middleton, and coming up after the break, we chat with veteran tech reporter Scott McGrew. His Silicon Valley talk show, Press Here, has been on the air for longer than he'd like to admit. Please come on back.